That is me.
Okay, now we're going to have a quick little demo of some stuff from Steve Turner.
Hi, I'm Steve. You've probably met me before. I'm an audioholic. And
hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Some know that the, I haven't actually, anyway, it doesn't matter. A guy named Alex Iwana, who is a producer, and he co-designed The Raven for Slate, and he's been a bunch of audio stuff. He has a bright idea based on America Test Kitchen, which deals with cooking items and does shootouts for cooking items and the like. He has Audio Test Kitchen, audiotestkitchen.com. He's been working on it for a few years. It just opened up a couple months ago. And what he's got so far, he's begun with microphones. And so you get to test what different microphone, I assume it's going to work.
There you go.
What different mics actually sound like. So it's a place with stuff. So here's full band. Question.
How is this working? Was this music recorded through each of these, or
yeah,
is the frequency response?
It's like what Jack and Dino did to all of his microphones. They set everything up exactly the same and then just replaced in the mic each time, as far as I understand it.
That was pretty seamless.
The technology is fabulous, and actually he's in town today. He couldn't make it tonight, but he's in town to speak to Paul Hubert at Immersion about whatever he might want to speak to Paul Hubert at Immersion about.
So was the band and singer clustered around a single mic?
I wish he was here to be able to tell you, but I'm sure there's going to be info. And you can look in, see.
Yeah, go to the website.
Yeah, that's the intention here.
Okay.
So it looks like we have all of the chosen mics curves there.
Yeah.
And we have, look at that. It gives you information, and out of the 300 mics that they have, there's the cupboard. What does that mean? See, I've not been here. He's asked me to show us. And so it might just take a while to come up, but I would say that there's lots of microphones that we can select and make it go in.
When you click on the video, the microphone has a...
Oh, this here? Where it says video?
Yes.
360 video.
Wow.
That's probably good.
Coming soon.
Soon.
It's fresh.
Spotify.
Yeah, and then you can take notes. Here's the curves.
Are they recording a speaker, like a loudspeaker?
I think so. Yeah,
So here's all the information that you may want for a given piece, and it probably even shows a place where you can go buy these, which is probably the business
price
model.
Yep.
So,
but it's the off-axis response that makes a big difference in microphones. And
well, that's, again, this exists. There's a loop, there's an auto next. And I just wanted to, because it's going to
be...
It's
interesting.
Yeah, it's one of the... Here's blind mode, for instance. So you don't know what they are, and you can listen to them and find out which one you like. And there's no.
You can guess.
Well, you don't have to guess. You're trying to find the thing that you want to buy. These days, and you can have notes of each, and then they have this all submitted up. Now, in a bigger vision, you've probably heard me talk about, you know, the potentials of blockchain music and this kind of thing. One of the things blockchain music is going to be able to have is you put in, if you're an engineer, you can put in what the signal chain is for a given instrument, and that goes into the blockchain. Programs like this then will be able to, when they're selling a distressor, so if you want to hear a distressor on a saxophone, all that data exists to be able to drag it to your ears and say, listen to the saxophone here, it uses this particular product. And if someone plays it, the thing about blockchain music is that it closes the loop and disintermediates so that when someone plays that, everyone involved gets paid. And so you get a little bit of extra for the engineer that put the information in. for instance. So this is an enabling technology for that at some point. And it's across the water at the moment. But they're going to be working with AES in an educational situation. And so they wanted me to share with you that this exists. AudioTestKitchen.com.
I think it's a great idea, but I think it's also another reason to not go visit your local music audio store.
I wonder if something they can add is to get this in real life, go to this
to
audio
localize
store.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be good.
Well, we know the guys doing it. So, Dan, this was just a fast hit. Dan's going to talk about the convention.
Guitar
touch.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the finish of our thing. Thank you for your
time. So one of the cool things about being part of the AES is that they have this annual convention as well as conferences all over the world throughout the year. But the annual convention in the U.S. now is in New York City every year in roughly October. And there are lots of papers and an exhibit hall where you can see stuff, and it's co-located with the National Association of Broadcasters Convention, so you get into that for free also. There's varying levels of passes, but all of them get you in to see the national NAB and see all the TV stuff anyway. Were there people other than me and Gary who were there who were want to weigh in? Okay, nobody. So it's at the Javits Center, and there were a bunch of cool things. Gary is in charge of the elections there. He is one of the highest muckety-mucks in the AES now, which is pretty cool for him to be there, part of our section. And I don't have a prepared talk or anything, but I wanted to tell you two amazing things that happened to me personally, which you could have happen to you too if you were there. There was a booth called the audiohistory.org where they are showing old stuff, and they showed a bunch of tone arms, record player arms.
Tone arms.
Pickup things. And they had the hooks with the double.
It looked like a paramecium.
Yeah. They had a bunch of those. And they also had this guy who was the one of the audio pioneers in the live sound world, which is what I do, Bill Hanley, hanging out, because there is a biography of him that's coming out in February that a guy, John Kane, has been working with him for 10 years to write this thing. John Kane's the author. And Bill was there, and John, to push that. And Bill was apparently kind of bored with people asking him what was the coolest thing about Woodstock or something, because he did the sound at Woodstock. And I started talking to him, and we talked for over 2 hours, and it was an incredible experience to hear. He not only did Woodstock, but he did all kinds of stuff in the early days of live sound. And when you were doing live sound back then, you had to invent your own stuff, that you couldn't go out and buy things. So he was telling me how the consoles at Woodstock that he had built for that, one of them crapped out, and they used the good one that worked, that had something like 50 channels for the recording, because that would be timeless. And for the PA, for that little thing, they had one Altec 1567A mixer and a pile of Shure M67s. And that was it. That was the mix console for Woodstock. And we talked about the amps that he used and all this other stuff. So I'm going to cut it short and say, if you went there, you could have done the same thing. And the other thing that was awesome was a talk about Rudy Van Gelder's studio that is still in Englewood Cliffs. And I got to go visit it. I coached the guy who gave the talk for a year. I was chair of the historical track last year and got it on the schedule, and so I helped him get it going. But he did all the work, of course. And I got to go visit the studio for a day the Sunday before the convention, and it was amazing to be in that space that had
all of those great players, and it's a huge, tall space. The center of the ceiling is 30 feet tall, and it's bigger than that that way. And you can have that kind of experience, too, if you go to the AES. And I wanted to also say that we invite and welcome people who are not members to come to our meetings, but supporting the National gives us the structure and foundation to be able to do this kind of thing and to approach people like Katie and Ron and other folks who give presentations and say, can you come and talk to our group of the AES rather than can you come talk to me and some of my friends? You know, so being a member is a good thing, and we encourage you to be a member, don't discourage you if you are not a member from coming. So that's all I have to say. Do you want to say anything?
No, nothing.
I didn't have anything prepared either, obviously. So, thank you.
Thank you.